Many Central New Yorkers are strongly divided about the future of Interstate 81 that cuts through downtown Syracuse. But this is not the first major infrastructure decision the community has debated. More from WRVO's Ryan Delaney.
A sharply divided city argues over whether to keep a major transit link running through downtown or to route it around the outskirts of the city. It's nearly the same debate going on here today, but this was in the 1920s, and Syracuse was arguing over whether to build an elevated rail corridor through downtown, as Dennis Connors, curator of the Onondaga Historical Association, explains.
And there was a whole campaign, the pro leave it downtown and elevate it versus the move it out of downtown and put it around the north side of the city.
A Syracuse politician and the governor at the time, Horace White, warned elevating the tracks would divide the city. Property would be damaged and the surrounding environs would be disfigured. But Connor says the final decision wasn't the governor's.
The final decision wasn't left up to some political entity out of town, but was actually put to a city referendum vote.
The Leave It Downtown side won that vote, though the railroad bed would later become Interstate 690. But will Interstate 81's future be decided at the ballot box? Probably not. A spokesman for the State Transportation Department says they haven't discussed such an idea, but emphasizes that they are engaging the public in the process. Just a few years before the decision on railroads through Syracuse, the city made another major infrastructure decision.
So the other side of this wall was
canal, yeah.
In the cramped basement of the Waylock Building in downtown Syracuse, the original retaining wall from the Erie Canal can still be seen through a hole behind the heating and cooling system. The building is now the Erie Canal Museum. The canal no longer runs through Syracuse, a city that owes its economic fortune and growth of yesteryear to the waterway. By the early 1920s, New York had rebuilt many sections of the canal, and Syracuse had been circumnavigated. Barge traffic into the city dropped way off. Diana Goodsight, executive director of the museum, says many Syracuse residents saw the canal's presence in the city as more of a barrier and a nuisance.
So they thought rather than leave this canal here for people to fall in, for more pollution. It was really kind of an eyesore at that point. So they looked at it as, what could we do with this canal running right through the middle of the city, and decided to fill it in.
So goodbye Erie Canal, hello Erie Boulevard.
Wrecked boats, any kind of trash, garbage, and dumped it into that canal and put Erie Boulevard right over it.
Decades later, city planners would begin to see the need for another main thoroughfare running through Syracuse, this time from north to south. Post-World War II urban planning documents talk about the need to divert through traffic from the crowded streets of the main shopping district.
And they do these little profiles of it. And actually what it is very similar to what they're talking about now in terms of this landscaped multi-lane boulevard.
Dennis Connors from OHA is holding up the report from 1947.
But it's grade level. It has a center lanes divided by landscape boulevards and service roads and all of that.
But then the interstate highway system was designed by the federal government.
And this little sort of bypass boulevard, if you will, became an interstate highway with all its requirements of the interstate highway system.
Interstate 81 today is a limited access elevated highway through the city, but the brick and mortar is crumbling. Advocates for tearing down the highway speak of a replacement more similar to the one from those 1940 plans, with the hope of new commerce springing up along the boulevard. There's another camp that argues the interstate's path should remain through the city in order to maintain access to businesses and jobs that are now along it.
This replacement for 81 is not just for the next couple of years. This is going to lock it in place for the next 50 years. And what does our community want to be in 20, 30, 40 years down the road?
Connor says that's reflective of the debate in the 1920s about where to place the railroad tracks, short term versus long term. In Syracuse, I'm Ryan Delaney for WRVO News.